back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. National survey data estimates as many as 20 million women and 10 million men in the United States will have an eating disorder at some point in their lives. Those disorders can range from anorexia to bulimia, binge eating, fasting, compulsive exercising, and more. These are serious but treatable mental and physical illnesses that can affect people of any age and background and can have lifelong consequences and struggles.
They're also issues that can pose real problems on college campuses as students are making the transition to adulthood. Dr. Stacy Nye is the supervisor for the UW-Milwaukee Eating Disorder Clinic. Tomorrow, the group will host an event on eating disorders, including a screening of the documentary, The Student Body. She spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski about how the clinic does its work on campus.
The Eating Disorder Clinic is part of the Psychology Clinic at UW-Milwaukee. So the Psychology Clinic is a training clinic for the PhD clinical psych graduate students. So it's where they have their practicum. They learn how to do psychotherapy there, and it's all supervised by the UWM faculty. We have an eating disorder clinic, among other clinics, housed within the psychology clinic. We provide outpatient psychotherapy and consultation to the community, to students.
And one thing that is specified with your clinic is that you treat adults who are also medically stable for outpatient treatment. So does this come in the purview of a lot of students and faculty on campus or anyone? Do you treat the public as well?
Oh, yes. We treat the public. We're a sliding scale clinic. So often people in the community who don't have insurance come to see us so that they can receive affordable care.
This week is Eating Disorder Awareness Week. And to start, what are some of the main eating disorders and their symptoms? You know, things like anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder, you know, compulsive exercise. It kind of runs the gamut. So what are some of the main ones that people should be familiar with?
The main ones that are in our diagnostic manual are anorexia nervosa, which is restrictive eating and often severe weight loss, and denial of what's happening with often distorted body image and a sense that, you know, someone is fatter than they really are. Bulimia nervosa, which is a disorder of binge eating and then purging either by self-induced vomiting or excessive exercise or restricting. Binge eating disorder is the binge eating part without necessarily any compensatory behaviors. So those are the main ones that we see. There's certainly other eating disorders as well.
What do you think the greatest misconceptions are about eating disorders?
I would say one of the greatest misconceptions is that people are doing it for attention and that they can just eat and they just don't want to.
How does that affect the people going through these eating disorders, whether they are aware and accepting of it or not, to have that misconception placed upon them?
Well, there's often a lot of shame involved in having an eating disorder, and often people delay seeking help because they're worried about being judged. It's harder to avoid treatment when you're anorexic because often you've lost so much weight that people start to notice and get concerned. First, they actually become very complimentary. We live in a society where when someone loses weight for any reason, people start complimenting them. So first, it's very reinforced, and then they keep going losing weight, and then people start to get concerned and bring them into treatment. With bulimia nervosa, it's often not visible from the outside. They don't necessarily lose a lot of weight. And so often people with bulimia wait up to 5 years before seeking treatment. So there's a lot of shame involved and a lot of fear of change.
Where does someone start if they believe that they have an eating disorder or perhaps on the verge of something serious, or even if they know something's up but they're not quite accepting and not ready for help? What are some ways people can take initiative on their own, say, before coming to the clinic?
Well, I would say they should talk to someone. They could talk to their doctor. They could talk to their school counselor. They could try talking to their parent. They could go online and not just look anywhere, but they could go to some of the recognized sites like the National Eating Disorders Organization that sponsors Eating Disorders Awareness Week. It's NEDA, N-E-D-A. They could take a screening there and see if they have an eating disorder. But I would say talking to an adult or a trusted friend to get some help first.
And in what ways does your clinic and the graduate students conducting therapy sessions, in what ways do they have to be mindful of when it comes to treating people with eating disorders? What are some of the protocols that are followed or just things that are more needed in these kind of sessions compared to the other services that you offer at the clinic?
All of the services provided at the clinic are led by graduate students, both testing and all the psychotherapy. It's all video recorded, and everyone knows that coming in. They sign a release to approve that, and that's how the faculty can directly monitor and supervise the psychotherapy. So one of the differences between treating someone with an eating disorder versus treating someone with simply an anxiety disorder would be often there are medical complications involved with an eating disorder. It's important that the graduate students are involved with often primary care docs or pediatricians and sometimes dietitians. So there's often some coordination of care that goes on that doesn't necessarily happen in one of the other clinics in the psychology clinic. Physicians really appreciate being involved and knowing what's happening with their patients, and they appreciate having someone who is helping their patients, you know, to get the help that they need.
Do you see any pattern or higher rate of any particular eating disorder in college students?
Well, when people go to college, it's a big transition, and times of transition are often times that people have trouble. So it's not unlikely that someone might develop a depressive episode or anxiety or an eating disorder. People joke that, you know, your first year of college, you might gain 10 pounds with all of the late night studying and drinking and pizzas and things like that. So it's certainly a time when people can start to have trouble. We do have a lot of people coming in. We're actually full at the moment and have a short waiting list. It depends on how many graduate students we have available at the time. But I think it's a great service. And not only that, it's important to me that we're also involved in the greater community.
You deal with a wide range of spectrum of clients at the clinic. Do you find that the rates of eating disorders differ between men and women?
Well, it's not that it affects women primarily, but it does tend to affect women more. But I would say that that is changing all the time because pressures to be thin and fit really affect all of us, no matter what your gender is. So I think we're going to learn more and more about men and transgender people coming out with and acknowledging that they have eating issues. Again, I think there is a lot of shame, particularly with men acknowledging they have an eating disorder because it's a misconception that it only affects women.
I imagine the landscape of learning about various eating disorders and the way they affect people has changed over the years since it's been diagnosed and chronicled. Do you find that today's digital landscape has heightened people's consciousness of the pressure to be thin, to be fit, to eat a certain way?
Are you talking about social media? Absolutely. It used to be that we were very concerned about television and movies and magazines. And there has been research about mothers who read certain magazines tend to have daughters with body image issues. But now we're seeing, as younger and younger kids even have access to social media, the social comparison has really skyrocketed. Instantly, you can open up your phone and see pictures of, you know, very thin, possibly Photoshop pictures of many celebrities. And there's the social comparison is really strong. There's a lot of fat shaming that goes on social media and bullying, although I'm starting to see a little more backlash towards that. But I would say that we've seen an increase in certainly just disordered eating and body image issues and self-esteem issues in young people with the, you know, tremendous rise of social media.
Dealing with eating disorders or body image at the very least is something we all deal with all of our lives. And women in particular can experience many different changes to their body, you know, especially, say, if they go through pregnancies and their relationship with their body and the way it looks or how they feel. How do you find this complicates a person's treatment, recovery, stability, the whole gamut?
Well, I think you're right, because women's bodies tend to change a lot through their lifetime. So, and men's bodies also, but in a kind of a different way. So women, as women go through puberty, their body changes a lot. They tend to put on a lot of weight before they develop. And so a lot of parents get worried about that as their pre-adolescent gains weight. They start freaking out that their kid is getting fat. That's a time that sometimes someone might call me. Then with development, then their body is changing in a more sexual way, and that can be very stressful to young girls and men as well, young boys. There's also pregnancy, as you said. The first few months of pregnancy, when you don't look pregnant but you've gained some weight, women become, you know, very concerned and self-conscious during those times. Or once you've had a baby and you still are carrying some pregnancy weight, women are very self-conscious at those times. And now what I'm more familiar with is menopause, when your metabolism slows down and you might put on some weight as a result of that. A lot of my friends talk about that a lot. But the main thing I really want to stress is it's really important that you love yourself and love your body no matter what it looks like. Our focus on our bodies as a tool for other people to judge is really concerning. I really want to help people to develop their whole person.
What do you see is the key to helping people you are treating to stay strong and to give them the tools they need to deal with this in its multiple stages?
Well, hopefully I'm giving people coping skills to learn how to cope with everyday pressures that they might have at one point used an eating disorder to cope with. I'm hoping to give people community. You know, I do groups in my private practice, and we sometimes have groups at UWM so that people can learn that they're not alone and they can rely on other people to get support. And I'm hoping to give people just some hope and something else to reach for. Again, in my mind, I'm not just treating an eating disorder to eliminate it, but I'm trying to develop the whole person so they have things that they have in their lives that become important to them. So sometimes people remain vulnerable to the effects of an eating disorder in their lifetime. Not everyone. I do believe people can recover completely. Hopefully, treatment will help them to not only recover, but to live full lives.
During Eating Disorder Awareness Week, what do you think is the most important message to send to the public, whether they are dealing with one of these disorders or not?
Well, the point of Eating Disorders Awareness Week is, as it says, to raise awareness and to help people come together. The theme this year is Come As You Are, and so the organization is really trying to extend itself to the many diverse kinds of people that can be affected by eating disorders and bring more attention to weight stigma and other kinds of stigma involved in, you know, how we judge people. So Come As You Are really means, you know, be who you are and don't get caught up in, you know, having to look a certain way to fit into a certain kind of standard. So I think it's important that people get the message that, you know, no matter what you look like, you should love yourself and be who you are. I think it's also important for other people who might know someone with an eating disorder to get some information on how they can help. So, you know, judging people, berating people obviously doesn't work. Threatening people doesn't work. Being a kind, empathic friend or family member who can listen and support is the best thing that you can do. If you can accompany someone to an appointment, that might be very helpful also. So approaching someone in your life that you're worried about with kindness and support is the best thing that you can do.
Dr. Stacy Nye, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you very much.
Dr. Stacy Nye is the supervisor for the UW-Milwaukee Eating Disorder Clinic. She spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski ahead of an event tomorrow evening in which several campus services will host a free screening of the documentary, The Student Body, along with online screenings for eating disorders and a discussion with the filmmaker. You'll find more information and resources at WUWM.com.